Welcome to the OFR Farm Report, your look at the Atlanta Braves minor league system, brought to you by OutfieldFlyRule.com, hosted by Andy Harris and Matt Kritzberg.
Hey everybody, this is Andy Harris, and with me is my co-host, Matt Kritzberg. Matt, how the heck are you?
Going pretty well. Got the season started last week for all the affiliates now, and it feels like we're getting back in our groove. We had the written version of the Farm Report come out this morning, and now we're recording the audio version so we can appeal to everyone's senses.
It's the smell-o-vision version coming soon.
In 3D.
Yeah, this has been a fun week, and then we've had our fantasy minor league Braves draft too, which you will be able to hear appended to the end of this podcast. For those who aren't interested in any of that nonsense, you may safely skip it, knowing that we aren't going to come back with any useful insights or anything like that. Not that we ever do. So once you hear the it's just fantasy music, you know you can move on with your lives. If you are interested in it, though, hang out there. You can see how Matt and I drafted our Braves fantasy teams.
One of these seasons, we're going to put some magical mystery content at the end of the draft just to see who's actually listening to it. But it's not going to be this year.
No. Yeah, it's like, and if you hang on all the way to the end,
you can get one of those replica rings.
Yeah, so they sold out a Monday in April.
On a school night.
On a school night, thanks to these replica rings. So maybe the least surprising thing in the universe is that they're having two more replica ring nights.
There might be about 70 more at the rate they're going. Yeah, I mean, that just... It's unheard of to hear those kind of numbers that they're putting in 40,000 fans in the stadium on a Monday night in April.
Yeah. Well, I'll give it to this to the Braves. They've really outdone themselves as far as promoting this whole the World Series champion week here. It looks like everybody's having a great time. It's awesome seeing folks like Walter Banks get a World Series ring, and the broadcast crew, and you know, especially the players that were on the Braves that didn't make the World Series, guys like Francoeur and Nick Green and Brian Jordan,
Peter Moreland.
Seeing those guys get a ring with the Braves, you know, it makes you feel good.
Yeah, because for those guys, it's kind of like a lifetime achievement award. I mean, you were here during the hard times and still contributing to the franchise in their own way. But yeah, it's a really nice story across the board.
Another nice story is that of Spencer Strider, who is actually on the mound right now as we're recording this. A little bit of made some waves when he pitched in that first game, struck out five of the six batters he faced. Obviously not a surprise to us or to anybody that's ever listened to us or read us, but it was nice that the rest of the major leagues could kind of see the potential that Spencer Strider brings every time he gets to the mound.
Yeah, just imagine a year ago at this time. It hasn't even been a year ago because the minor league season didn't even start until May last season. Less than 12 months ago, he was blown away these poor 18, 19-year-old kids at low A with just basically just straight-up fastballs.
Yeah, he's spent the last 11 months just striking everybody out.
And he is not fazed by the big lights of Atlanta at all. I mean, he just ran through all those levels, and he's off to a pretty strong start this season as well.
Yeah, that guy's cool as a cucumber. And it looks like he's out of the inning, so we'll see if he comes back out for a third inning. They need him to go a little longer. Wiscar Ynoa, unfortunately, did not last particularly long. It looks like he was a little amped up early on, and then petered out, which is something I think we're seeing a lot of around baseball with that shortened spring training. I think pitchers just having a hard time kind of managing getting through the order more than two times.
Yeah, it didn't seem to affect. Charlie Morton's been through this kind of stuff. I mean, forever, so he was able to acclimate better to the situation than the others. But I'm looking for the other pitchers, like Ian Anderson on Sunday and Max Fried as well. It's almost like their last spring training start is what this would have been. So I don't think there's really good to judge them probably until their next start. If they're still only going three innings in their next start, okay, maybe we'll look and say, okay, what's going on here? We'll start with the Gwinnett Stripers. The Gwinnett Stripers were the only team that played a full schedule last week. I mean, it just started on Tuesday, just like every normal week will. And they started on the road in Memphis, and they split a six-game series with the Memphis Redbirds. Now, the one thing that really stood out this week was on the starting pitching front. Bryce Elder did not pitch at all. He pitched the final spring training game for the Atlanta Braves, and I don't know if maybe perhaps that threw the schedule off or they're trying to just kind of line up his start to possibly pitch in Atlanta at some point. But he's finally going to be scheduled to pitch on Tuesday night at their home opener. But Kyle Muller actually started twice last week. Didn't have long outings. I mean, they're much like in the past with the minor leagues. They kind of sticked around 65 to 75 pitches for their first start. And so Kyle Muller only went a total of 9 2/3 innings over two starts, but that's not due to performance. That's just due to pitch count, because he pitched very well over those 9 2/3 innings. He only gave up 3 runs over those two starts, and he struck out 13. But most importantly, I think he only walked 2 hitters in 9 2/3 innings. I've seen innings where he's walked more hitters than that. And it's a very good progress for Kyle Muller, and he just keeps up that kind of stuff. He's going to be back in Atlanta at some point. I imagine he's probably the first man up if something happens with one of these other starting pitchers. Going beyond that, Touki Toussaint had a really good start as well. He had a rough first inning in his start. It was a daytime start as well. But after that, he settled down and he got through 4 2/3 innings before he hit his pitch count. And he only gave up just 1 run, and he struck out 8 hitters as well. The one pleasant surprise definitely for the week is Jacile De La Cruz. He had a really rough year last year between injury and ineffectiveness. And he just couldn't get any kind of groove at all last season. But we were kind of wondering what was going to be his role going forward. Is he a starter? Is he a reliever? They put him in the starting rotation, and they probably weren't wanting him to go this long, or at least not by design. But he ended up going for 4 innings because he was so efficient with his pitches. He only threw 41 pitches over 4 innings. You would think in a normal circumstance that might get him to 2 to 3 innings, and that would have been his limit. So I guess 40 pitches is around his limit, but he did so well and so long that they just let him go the full 4 innings. But he only gave up 1 run and 2 hits. So I imagine that's going to be the kind of role they keep him in. And we'll see if they try to stretch out his pitch count or if they're going to kind of look at him as a long reliever type.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of that De La Cruz start. Really liked what I see. He was really going after guys. Didn't look like he was holding anything back or anything. So I think you're right. They probably told him, give us 40 pitches. And he knew that he could go as far as that. And I think that worked for him. He was just very aggressive. Toussaint also, very interesting. He looks like he's experimenting with a different kind of slider, where he kind of comes down like his release point's a little bit lower, and it kind of sweeps to the glove side a little bit. I think that's a pretty good pitch for him, considering that almost all of his other pitches kind of tend to fade arm side. So that I saw a lot of confused looks from Memphis Redbird hitters when facing Toussaint back on Wednesday.
Yeah, and that was pretty much the story from the starting rotation last week. Now going into the bullpen, looks like Michael Tonkin is going to be kind of the quote unquote closer for the Stripers. He got 2 saves during the course of the week. Now they ran out just a ton of relievers over the course of the week, because they did have a 6-game series, and I don't think anybody got more than 2 appearances, but Nolan Kingham also stood out after the time he put in as a reliever, and it looks like that's his future now with the organization. Of course, he got kind of bumped down from Gwinnett to Mississippi towards around the trade deadline, because they're just a glut of relievers at that level. They bumped him down, and of course, he really stood out in the Double-A South Championship Series for the Mississippi Braves, but they bumped him back up again to start the season at Gwinnett, and he pitched 3 1/3 scoreless innings over 2 appearances. So it looks like this is his future with the team. But I mean, there's obviously there's definitely a path for him to reach the major leagues now, because he didn't look like he was going to get there as a starter. Now, some other relievers like Brad Brock and Dylan Lee also put in some good work this week with multiple scoreless outings. Now, going into the offensive part of the equation, there's a couple of guys that really stood out this week. Travis DeMeritt, he's one of the few returning bats that they have, but he had a really, really big week. He was 8-for-23 with four doubles, a triple, a home run, 4 RBI, and 2 stolen bases. And he was our OFR position player of the week. So congratulations to Travis DeMeritt on that coveted honor. Pat Valaika, infielder, he was sent down kind of as part of that mass exodus of infielders from the Atlanta Braves when they decided not to keep anybody in a backup infield position beyond Orlando Arcia. They sent him down along with Phil Gosselin and Ryan Goins. But Valaika had a really big week. He had 3 multi-hit games, was 9-for-23 with 2 home runs, and led the team with 9 RBI, so good on him. And a really pleasant surprise of what we saw last week was Braden Shoemake at shortstop. Just kind of wondering, okay, we'll see. We kind of just talked about last week how Dansby Swanson will be a free agent after the season, and they probably want to bump up Shoemake to see what they have in him to see if he's a possible replacement for Dansby in the future. And he got off to a really strong start. He went 5-for-12 in his first 3 games, and that's with the 0-for-4 in his 3rd game. But he was removed from the lineup at the beginning of a Friday night's game. He was in the announced starting lineup, but never took the field. And he was pulled, and he hasn't played since then. So we don't know what kind of injury he has or what kind of how long he'll be out. But it looks like he's not going to be around for the time being. So it's a little disappointing, but hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later.
I think Gaurav Vedek on Twitter had a really nice GIF showing the difference between his hitting stroke between Mississippi last year and now, just his hands going more directly to the ball, a lot less wasted movement, a lot less loopiness in the swing. So hopefully this hot start for him, he's able to keep that up, and hopefully it's a result of this work that he's putting in a swing. It's an exciting development.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested to see more of it. And hopefully, whatever injury he has, that won't cost him too much time or hinder his progress once he does come back. And as far as any other players, Chadwick Tromp had a pretty nice week. He hit safely in all 4 of his games as the primary catcher for the Stripers. And Grayson Genista had a pretty nice week, too, in his first action since being promoted from Mississippi. He was 4-for-14 with a couple of home runs, although he had a lot of strikeouts as well. He struck out 7 times on the week, but it's nice to see him get off to a pretty quick start with a couple of power numbers on the home runs.
Home runs and strikeouts, that's pretty much his game.
Yep, they had that tandem last year with Drew Lugbauer, and we saw a lot of both from both of those players. All right, we're off to Mississippi. Mississippi Braves opened their season on Friday at home, and like we saw with the Big Club had their championship week. Mississippi had a celebration as well from their AA South championship. It wasn't quite to the scale of the one in Atlanta. They didn't have I don't think their rings were costing anywhere in the $25,000 range or anything, but there were some pretty nice hardware for a bunch of AA players. And a good thing is they had a lot of returning players from last year, so a lot of the players who were eligible to receive rings got theirs on site at Friday night's game. Now, they had one player who was on the team last year. He happened to be playing Atlanta and got a World Series ring also, so he'll have to get his AA South ring at another time in Spencer Strider.
Yeah. He got the double bling. It's good. It's good to be Steven Strider, Spencer Strider these days.
Yes, it is. The good thing about this is they got to celebrate in front of the team they beat for the AA South Championship in the Montgomery Biscuits, the Tampa Bay Rays affiliate, which was on the besides AA and big leagues in Atlanta. Tampa won the AAA, High A, and Low A championships, while the Atlanta Braves got the MLB, and they won the World Series and got a AA championship. So between those two teams, they won basically every title last season. But it was nice for them to celebrate against the team they took on before. Now, as far as the starting pitching goes, the most noted arrival is Darius Vines, who pitched. He mostly pitched at Augusta last season, but had a got some time in Rome as well. But he got his first Double-A start on Saturday, and he did pretty well for himself. He pitched five innings and gave up just one run and one hit before he reached his pitch limit. So, really good start for him. Jared Schuster also basically matched those numbers on Sunday, one run over five innings, and pitched very well. Now, the one of the pitcher who didn't pitch particularly well was William Woods. He pitched on opening night, and he gave up three runs in three innings, walked a couple of hitters, and gave up a home run. So, a little bit of a rough start for him, but hopefully we'll see him improve over his next couple of starts. As far as the relief corps concerned, since it was such a short series, we didn't see anybody more than once, but Hayden Deal came in relief of William Woods on Friday and threw 2 2/3 scoreless innings and didn't give up any hits or runs. Jake Higginbotham followed up a really good spring training, which he spent some time at with the major league level, especially even late in spring training, but he pitched an inning and 2/3 of scoreless ball on Sunday. Now, the one disappointment was Indigo Diaz. He pitched briefly at Gwinnett last season, but came back down to start the season at Mississippi, primarily due to a glut of relievers at the Triple-A level. But he got beaten up on pretty badly. He only retired one hitter in his sole appearance on Saturday night, gave up three runs and walked three as well. So it was a really rough start for him, but hopefully as the weather warms up, he'll warm up as well. And as far as position players go, everybody's got the one everybody's keeping their eye on is Michael Harris, number one prospect on the OFR top 30 prospects list. He did very well over the weekend. Didn't put up any gaudy big numbers like home runs or anything like that, but he did go 5-for-13, had a 3 RBI game on Sunday, and he stole a base as well and was generally impressive in the field. So he's off to a really good start, and hopefully that will continue. Drew Lugbauer, mentioned a little while ago in tandem with Grayson Genesta, he returned to start in Mississippi. There's just too many first base DH types at the Gwinnett level, so he started off in Double A, but he was 4-for-14 and had a home run and 4 RBI. Jesse Franklin played alongside Michael Harris at Rome last season and got promoted, was still playing beside him in Mississippi, but he only was 2-for-10 during his initial weekend, but he did have a 4-walk game on Sunday, and this was not a guy who walked a whole lot last season, so that's a very promising development to see, because if he can put together some home runs and a fair number of walks, bring up that on-base percentage, that will really help out his offensive numbers. And one really good development at Mississippi was Trey Harris. He didn't play in the first game of the series, but he had a 4-for-9 over the next two games, and he had a home run. And that was one thing we had pointed out before, that's why he's slipping down our prospect rankings, was he's getting older and didn't put up a whole lot of slugging percentage last year at Mississippi. So to see a home run from him this early on was a very positive development in my eyes.
Yeah, both my cousins doing well. It's great to see.
At some point, you're going to have to get your picture taken with both of them.
Maybe. I think they're coming to Chattanooga in a few weeks. We might try to get up there and see if we can arrange something like that. That would be great.
Yeah, it'll be kind of like the Upton SI cover, just a little different.
Just like that, yes. Yeah, Michael Harris, he looks fantastic. He doesn't seem to be fazed at all by going up to the next highest level. His bat speed looks great. You know, using all fields, very excited by what I've seen so far. And obviously, this is just three games, but Michael Harris looks locked in already.
I know it's going to, the more successful he is at this level, the more people are going to be calling for him to be brought up to the major league level. But just, I mean, he just needs to, he needs to get his reps in. As long as he's getting his reps in, get his at-bats, get some games under his belt, he's going to continue to develop, and he'll be in Atlanta before you know it.
Yeah, I'm going to start calling for it soon. All right, we're going to move on to Rome now. Rome got off to a good start. They won 2 of 3 on the road at Greensboro. They won on Friday on opening day. They had an 11-0 lead going into the fifth inning. Unfortunately, Merrick Krause came in relief, and and didn't really have as good stuff that day, but they still ended up winning 16-6. Landon Stevens, 3-for-4 with a home run in that game and a double. Vaughn Grissom was strong all series long, was 5-for-14 with a double, knocked in 4 runs, scored another 3. So Grissom, obviously the guy that everybody's looking at in that Rome lineup, but just up and down, a pretty good weekend for everybody up in Greensboro. We were kind of curious about who the rotation for Rome would be, but we got the first 3 starters pretty much nailed down. Dylan Dodd, Andrew Hoffman, and Tanner Gordon through the first 3 games of the season. All of them went at least 4 innings, which is good. Tanner Gordon got into a little bit of trouble on Sunday, and that's the one that Rome ended up dropping. But all of them looked pretty decent. And like I said, all of them managed to get through 4, even with the abbreviated pitch counts for them. So I will be attending tomorrow night, Tuesday night, the home opener for Rome. I have no idea who's going to be starting that game, looking at their roster. I thought maybe Jake McSteen might be, but he's been used in relief. So this will be exciting. It's been a long time since I've gone to a Rome Braves game without having any idea who's going to be the starting pitcher. So, I'll have a report back for the next podcast.
Yeah, and as we discussed previously, the trade that involved Ryan Cusick and Joey Estes cost roughly two-fifths of their rotation for Rome. So yeah, there's going to be some filling in going on, and probably a few bullpen games until they get some starters developed.
Yeah, and maybe some starters will be developing in Augusta and can come up soon. So let's segue that right to Augusta. They started out in fine fashion, taking 2-3 against Columbia on the road, continuing that theme. They won their first series right off the bat. Last year, they took them until June to win a series. Of course, they had those crazy 6-game series. It's really hard to win those series. But it's nice that Augusta not only won the series, but won it pretty decisively. They led all but 1 inning, I believe, in this series. Or tied, right? Led or tied. It was only on opening day. Unfortunately, Peyton Williams came in and blew a 6-3 Augusta lead in the ninth for Columbia to come back and win 7-6. But other than that one inning, it was pretty much all Green Jackets all weekend long. They really went long ball. Rome managed to score all those runs with only getting 1 home run, and that was from Landon Stevens. The Green Jackets hit 7 home runs over the 3 games, 2 by shortstop Cal Conley on Sunday, but also home runs by Geraldo Quintero, Mekhi Backstrom, Caden Morton, and then catchers Antonio Barranca and Adam Zabrowski all went the yard. Perhaps the biggest offensive contributor kind of all weekend long was Brandall Mosqueda, 5-for-12 with a double. He was basically on the bases all the time. So really exciting start for the Augusta offense.
Last season, when they their first year as a Braves affiliate, they were very offensively challenged, particularly early in the season. So it's really good to see them get off to such a quick start and make it a little more interesting to go there and watch their games.
Yeah, we'll see if that continues, but it's a very promising start. Speaking of promising starts, Roybert Salinas on the opening day starter for Augusta struck out 11 of the 18 Fireflies he faced. Really just kind of a dominating outing for him. Gave up 2 runs, only 1 of them were earned. And then we got teenage starters for the second and third games, A.J. Smith-Shawver on Saturday and then Adam Shoemaker on Sunday. Both of them with relatively short outings but not particularly efficient, but they held their own. You know, they Smith-Shawver allowed 2 earned runs in 3 2/3, Shoemaker 3 runs in 2 1/3, but he also struck out five. So in their first taste of full season ball, not too shabby. Standout reliever here was J.J. Niekro. Yes, the nephew of Joe Niekro, or the son of Joe Niekro, the nephew of Phil Niekro. Really nice job relieving Shoemaker on Sunday. 3 2/3 hitless innings to secure the win. So great start for both A-ball affiliates for the Braves.
Yeah, the Robert Salinas, it was really interesting. I watched some of the footage from his start. He's listed as being 6'3", 205, but he looks like he's somewhat bigger than that. He had a really thick lower body that helped him generate some power. So, yeah, obviously, he's definitely going to be a guy to watch over the course of the season for the Green Jackets.
I believe the 6'3".
That, I believe. The 205, not so much. But no. It's not fat. It's not fat by any means. He just has really thick legs and lower body. So, yeah, it's. I mean, he's solidly built. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, he's packed on some muscle because, you know, I saw him a little bit last year on, you know, MILB TV. He came up for August, I think, around the last 3 or 4 weeks there. And I saw a couple of his starts. He was a big guy, but not nearly as, I don't know, I can't think of a word, chunky, that implies fat, but not as imposing about that as he seems to be right now. So we'll keep an eye on him, but great start. And, of course, he was our OFR Pitcher of the Week. Well, Matt, you have anything else to add? Otherwise, we'll go ahead and cut this one short so we can go right to the draft.
No, just some really good starts, like what we saw from several of these teams. Looks like Mississippi's already off to a really good start. Augusta, it looks like it's going to be a much more interesting team to watch this season. And just across the board, we're seeing a lot of interesting stuff, although we have had some abbreviated schedules. So hope this will be the first full week for the non-Gwinnett affiliate, so we'll get a better idea of what's happening in with those teams on next week's show. But, I think we're off to a rocking start, and start of another fun season.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And here comes the fourth annual fantasy draft. All right. Well, here we are. This is the fourth annual fantasy Braves minor league draft between me, Andy Harris, and Matt Kritzberg, the co-hosts of the Outfield Fly Rule Farm Report. Matt, last year you went down into ignoble defeat. How are you going to come back this year?
By hopefully choosing better players this year or having some players that don't get injured. I mean, it's going to be a struggle because, I mean, these rosters are enormous this season, so there's no shortage of players to choose from. But as we see, there's already a number of players that have been injured and others who didn't start aren't starting at the level we thought they would start at. So that could affect the numbers that they put up. But we're going to do our best and we're going to try to pick the best teams possible.
All right. And just to review how this goes. So Matt and I are each going to choose players for a 25-man roster team. The scoring is going to be done by classic rotisserie 5x5 scoring. There are no moves that are made during the season, so what we draft now will be the same players that end up at the end of the year. We use all the stats from whatever level they end up at or whatever team they end up at. So if somebody makes it to the majors, their major league stats count. If they end up getting traded, their stats that are produced by in the other organization count. If they are released and picked up by an independent league, the independent league numbers will count. It's just whatever they produce is what they produce. The positions are the four infield positions plus corner and middle infielder, two catcher spots, three outfielders, a designated hitter, five starting pitchers, and eight relief pitchers. Matt, you ready to get this going?
Let's do this.
Since I am the champion and you are the challenger, you will get the first pick.
Well, this should come as a surprise to absolutely no one. I'm going to choose Michael Harris, outfielder.
Yeah, who's that?
Yeah, he the number one prospect on the Outfield Fly Rule Top 30 list. He is going to be playing at Mississippi, at least for the beginning of this season. And he showed a great amount of progress last year, and I don't imagine that anything's going to change, that he's just going to keep progressing. We'll see how the power numbers are affected by playing an offensively challenged environment at Mississippi, but if nothing else, I'm sure he'll still put up a fair amount of batting average, OBP, and stolen bases.
Well, that makes sense to me. I'm going to try to get all the strikeouts and take Spencer Strider, number one pitching prospect on the OFR prospect list. He's already got 5 strikeouts out of 6 batters faced this season. So I'm putting him as a starting pitcher. I think that's where he'll pitch most of the season. But even if he only gives me reliever innings, he's still going to put up a ton of strikeouts.
All right. I suppose I should go ahead and pick out a pitcher as well. I'm going to take Freddie Tarnock. Out of Mississippi. He spent a fair amount of time there last year, and it will begin that level again this season. So hopefully that since he's already used to the level, he can go ahead and put up some good numbers for me early before any kind of promotion to Gwinnett, depending on whether they can get that logjam of pitching cleared out in the short term.
Yes, he was next on my pitcher list as well. With that, I think I'm going to grab me an infielder. And I'm going to take the top infielder on the on our prospect list, and that is Vaughn Grissom.
Good choice.
And for now, I'm going to put him at third base. I may move him to shortstop, depending on what else comes up.
All right. I am going to choose, let's see. He's not playing at the moment, and hopefully his injury isn't too serious, but I'm going to take Drew Waters. He played the first 2 games of the spring training campaign for the Braves and suffered, I believe it's a hamstring injury, and has not played anywhere since then. But hopefully he won't be too far down the line in his return and be able to help out with some outfield numbers.
All right. I am going to go for stolen bases now. And he was a key member of my team last year. So I'm happy to welcome back Justin Dean, who is current outfielder for the Gwinnett Stripers.
Pitching wise, I'm going to stick with pitching at least for the moment. I'm going to take Bryce Elder. That he rocketed his way through the organization last year, made his way all the way to Gwinnett, impressed in spring training. So it wouldn't be a shock if he kind of was up and down between Gwinnett and Atlanta this season. So I'll take the Gwinnett numbers. Hopefully he can pile up some numbers before his promotion.
Yes, that's a good choice. Having to think a little bit on this one here. All right, I think I'm going to go ahead and try to grab some more power. And that means Drew Lugbauer. Going to grab him, install him at first base.
I, too, am going to try to take some power here. I'm going to take Jesse Franklin. And that will already finish off my outfield. He had a very good power binge at Rome last season. He's promoted to Mississippi. Hasn't hit any yet as of this the time of our recording here in the first couple of games. But it's got potential. And, in fact, MLB Pipeline actually made a prediction that he would hit 30 home runs this season. I find that very unlikely, but if he can get to, let's say, 20, that definitely helps out the numbers.
All right, I'm going to try to grab another pitcher here, and I'm going to try to get a good one, Kyle Muller. We'll see how long he is at AAA, but I think he'll be successful no matter where he is.
All right, it looks like I need to start on my infielder, so I will take Braden Shoemake. And install him at shortstop. He had a first couple of very good games this season. I believe he went 0-for-4 in his third game. And then he was removed. He was in the initial lineup for Friday's game and was removed at the beginning of the game. He never went onto the field. So hopefully it's not anything serious and that he'll be returned very soon. But what we saw out of those first couple of games of the season was quite promising.
All right. Based on your picking of Shoemake, I am actually going to go ahead and pick up Justin Henry Malloy and put him at third base and push Grissom to short.
Let's see. I am going to choose. I'm going to choose Cal Conley. I'm going to put it just as infielder for right now. Would he be second or third base eligible?
Let me see. He is. Looks like he's only shortstop.
Well, that's a problem. All right.
But you can put him at middle infield.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. I think I'm going to go back to pitching. And I'm going to pick up a guy who came on strong last year, Alan Rangel. Really like him pitching at Mississippi this year.
Yeah. Seeing as he already has some experience at that level, he can just kind of get right back after it and hopefully give you some good numbers there. I'm going to go with another pitcher as well. I'm going to go with Dylan Dodd. He's a college arm. He's at Rome now, and I think he's a guy who could hit multiple levels this season, and he's already had a solid first start for Rome.
All right. Saves are going to be kind of weird this year. I suspect a lot of people are going to get opportunities for that. But I think the main guy at Rome is going to be Justin Yeager, and so I'm going to grab him. And let me do a quick summary for people listening here. Matt's team so far after eight rounds, Harris, Tarnock, Waters, Elder, Franklin, Shoemake, Conley, Dodd. And then my team so far, Strider, Grissom, Dean, Lugbauer, Muller, Malloy, Rangel, Yeager.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and take a DH. I'm going to take Travis DeMeritt.
He is not eligible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and just people that are wondering about that, if you are no longer rookie eligible in the major leagues, then you are not eligible in this. So,
oh, that's right. I forgot about all his time in Detroit.
Yeah. So no demerit. So that would include, you know, Touki Toussaint would also not be eligible, even though he's currently in AAA.
Okay. I am going to take Cade Bunnell. Is he, he's played some first bases. In fact, I think he's played several games at first base already this season. Would he be eligible there, or is he strictly second base?
He is eligible at second and third, believe it or not.
Okay. Well, I'll install him at second for now with the, on a rent to own basis.
But yeah, I know. I saw he's been mostly playing, first at Rome, but he played very little first last year. So,
and he had a true Bunnell game the first game of the season. He was 0 for 3 with 4 walks.
Yes, this is true to form. All right, I think I will stick with pitching for now. I think I'm going to go with left-hander Chris Anglin.
Yeah, I was definitely eyeballing him for later. All right, I'm going to go with a reliever as well. I'm going to go with Dylan Spain.
He was literally next on my list. Okay, I think I'm going to bounce back to starters, and I will take Darius Vines.
Yeah, nice, very nice first start for Mississippi.
I figure you just can't go wrong with Mississippi starting pitchers, right?
Right. There are several I would have my eye on. I'm just not sure about their injury status, and I don't want to take somebody who's going to be an issue down the line. So I believe I am going to go. I'm going to dip down into Augusta for Adam Shoemaker.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and grab a second baseman, and that will be Cody Milligan. Had him last year, gave me a whole bunch of stolen bases, so hopefully he does that again.
Would is Chadwick Tromp eligible?
He is not.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with Luke Waddell. I'm assuming he's second base eligible?
No, only shortstop eligible.
Oh. We're very strong at shortstop, but having problems everywhere else. Let's see. There are some positions we are just flat out running out of personnel.
Yeah, second base is pretty tight.
All right. I'm going to go with CJ Alexander. I think he can play third base.
Yes. I see now that I currently only have one outfielder. That could be a problem. So I think I'm going to dip down to Augusta, as you say, and grab Brandall Mosquito.
Okay. Here's one I was looking at earlier on, but I chose to concentrate my efforts there early, so just ran out of room for him. I am going to finish off my starting rotation. I'm going to go to Rome and take Andrew Hoffman.
And I'm going to try to grab some more power here and take Grayson Genista. And for now, I'll have him an outfield.
I am going to go. I don't have a catcher yet, so I am going to take Adam Zebrowski. He may not be much defensively, but defense does not count in this contest.
He was my first on my list for catchers, but I don't have a lot of differential for that, so I'm not going to jump at catcher yet. I think I'm going to go ahead and grab a corner infielder. Yeah, it's going to be Geraldo Quintero.
Okay.
I'm sorry, make that middle infielder. He's eligible at second base.
I really need a first baseman, but there's not much left on this list. Let's see. Where is Braulio Vasquez eligible?
Only second base.
We have 47 second basemen and not much else. All right. I'm going to go with Bryson Horn at first base for the simple matter that he's eligible.
Yeah, that's a good one. For my corner infielder, I'm going to grab Landon Stevens. And I'm sorry, who is your last pick?
Bryson Horn.
Rome teammates sharing the same position, pretty much. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, see, I still need a... Let's see. I believe I'm going to go... Because I still need a DH. I'm going to go ahead and pick... And he's not playing yet, and I don't know what his time frame is, but I'm going to take Tyler Collins.
Okay. All right, I think it's time to maybe zerg some relievers here. When in doubt, go to Mississippi. I will take Odalvy Javier.
I'll go with a reliever as well. I believe I'm going to go with Nolan Kingham.
All right, staying with relievers. I think I'm going to go ahead and take Dylan Lee.
That's World Series starter Dylan Lee.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't say his full name.
If that was me, I'd just go around introducing myself like that for the rest of my life. Did you know I was a World Series starting pitcher? All right, I'm going to finish off my catching tandem. I'm going to go with Hendrick Clementina.
Of course you are.
The Zebrowski-Clementina combo is not going to win any gold gloves, but hopefully we can get a little... few homers out of them.
That is a triple sized roast beef sandwich of catching right there.
That's got to be pushing 500 pounds between the two of them.
All right. I will take another reliever. And I will take, let's take a walk on the wild side. I'm going to take Trey Riley.
All right. I'm mostly in need of relievers at this point, so I will take, let's see, Indigo Diaz is still on the board, so I will choose him.
Okay, and I will have to recompute, because that's who my next pick was going to be. Is your rotation set?
Yes. Well, this way, I need nothing but relievers and a corner infielder.
Okay. So many guys I wish was reliever eligible. All right, I am going to go with reliever Jake Higginbotham.
Is Jaceel De La Cruz reliever eligible?
He is not. Okay. I was literally looking at his name when I made that last comment.
I'm running out of names in a hurry. I'm going to go with Benjamin Dumb.
That's not Benjamin, what did they accidentally call him?
I don't know, but it was worse than Dumb.
Yeah, it was worse than Dumb.
Was it Bum? It was Bum, wasn't it?
Bum, yeah. It's not Ben Bum. It's Ben Dumb. Had some fun with that on Twitter last week.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So many great relievers to choose from. It's hard to pick out just one.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go with Austin Smith out of the Rome Braves.
All right. I'm still going to look at the upper levels, but it's kind of tough with Gwinnett because they have so many of them. I believe I'm going to take Troy Bacon from Mississippi.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was trying to decide between him and Smith and took the road less traveled, I guess. All right, I'm going to fill out my bullpen with right-hander Luis Vargas out of Augusta. What was your pick before Bacon?
Dumb. Not very often I'll have the words dumb bacon written next to each other. If you were so smart, you wouldn't have ended up as bacon.
But it tastes so good.
All right, I am going to, let's see, I need relievers and I need one corner infielder. I'm going to choose Mekhi Backstrom as a corner infielder.
All right, I've got two catchers to fill, a DH spot, and a starting pitcher. So let me go ahead and grab a DH. I will take Drew Campbell.
See, I'm full up with position players, so I'm strictly in reliever country now. I am going to choose Tyler Ferguson at Mississippi.
All right, and then for my last rotation spot, actually got some great choices here. thinking Tucker Davidson, but I'm a little concerned he might get hit around at the major league level a little bit. Jared Schuster sitting right there from Mississippi, as is William Woods. Tanner Gordon at Rome is a sneaky good possibility. Roiber Salinas had a great start.
I thought about him earlier, but then I remembered that Rodri Munoz start from last season. His first start was spectacular, and he kind of just faded a pretty good bit after that.
Yeah, but you know, Salinas was pretty good. You know, he was pretty good to end last season too. He's not like quite that sparkly new. And then there's AJ Smith-Shawver who's sitting there too. That's a heck of an arm. And then I could just do what I normally do and pick Victor Vodnik.
But who knows what you're going to get? It's a grab bag, Victor Vodnik.
Yeah. You know, he's always been my guy, but he's not on an active roster right now. I'm not sure what the plan is for him.
He may make 20 starts. He may make 2 starts. You never know.
You know what? I'm going to go with the first round draft pick out of Wake Forest and is on the AA champion Mississippi Braves. I'm going to go with Jared Schuster.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need to overthink these things, I guess.
Right. I still need 2 relief arms, and I'm running out of options. I was going to go there, but I thought about Brooks Wilson, but he literally has not thrown a pitch in any capacity this season. So, you know what? I think I'm going to do it anyway, just due to lack of options on the board.
What's that?
I'm going to go ahead and take Brooks Wilson.
Okay. Well, catcher is the only spot left for me, so I'm going to go ahead and grab Tyler Tulvey of the Rome Braves and formerly Kennesaw State Owls.
There's a number of relievers left on the board, but I think one is just as good as the other at this point. I'm going to go with a sentimental pick. I'm going to take J.J. Negro.
And why not? All right, so the last pick is to me, and I will take my second catcher, which will be noted down to 2. I'm going to go ahead and take Antonio Barranca. I was thinking either him or Javier Valdez. Decided just not to get both Rome catchers. That seemed like it would be self-defeating. So,
yeah, and Ryan Castile's still out there, but he doesn't look like he's going to get more than about 1 or 2 starts a week. So,
yeah, even though he's listed as a catcher, he actually is not eligible a catcher. He did not play there enough last year. All right, Matt, you want to You want to go through your team again real quick for everybody that was listening?
All right. Starting pitchers, Freddie Tarnock, Bryce Elder, Dylan Dodd, Adam Shoemaker, and Andrew Hoffman. My relief corps, Indigo Diaz, Benjamin Dumb, Troy Bacon, Tyler Ferguson, Brooks Wilson, J.J. Necro, Nolan Kingham, and Dylan Spain. Catching tag team tandem of Adam Zabrowski and Hendrick Clementina. Going around the horn, literally, first base, Bryson Horn. Second base, Cade Bunnell. Shortstop, Braden Shoemake. And third base, C.J. Alexander. My outfield core is Michael Harris, Drew Waters, and Jesse Franklin. Corner infielder, Mekhi Backstrom. Middle infielder of Cal Conley, and DH is Tyler Collins.
All right, and then my team will start at the infield. First baseman Drew Lugbauer, second baseman Cody Milligan, third base Justin Henry Malloy, shortstop Vaughn Grissom. My corner infielder is Landon Stevens, and my middle infielder is Geraldo Quintero. Behind the plate, I have Tyler Tolvey and Antonio Barranca. And in the outfield, I have Justin Dean, Brandall Mosqueda, Grayson Genista, with Drew Campbell as my designated hitter. And then my starting rotation, Spencer Strider, Kyle Muller, Alan Rangel, Darius Vines, and Jared Schuster. My bullpen, Justin Yeager, Chris Anglin, Odavi Javier, Dylan Lee, Trey Riley, Jake Higginbotham, Austin Smith, and Luis Vargas. I have no idea which one of these teams is better, dude.
I haven't either. Just kind of a quick observation here. Just looking at, you know, in past seasons, we've hit some walls pretty quickly. I remember one year we had, like, third base was like an absolute wasteland. It seems like catching's the... Well, like neither one of us is anxious to pick a catcher because you either have, you're either getting all offense or all defense, and you're not getting a balance in any of them. And as we saw, we would have a plethora of second basemen, but we ran out of corner infielders pretty quickly. And outfield, it's top heavy, but once we got those handful of top heavy infield outfielders, it kind of started to fade a bit pretty quickly there as well.
Right. And I feel like the some of the picks that we took are not necessarily separated by much from a lot of the guys that did not get picked either.
Oh yeah.
So it we did the best we can here at the right at the beginning of the season, but I could see a lot of this Willie Carter is someone I'm looking at right now, did not get picked. It certainly could put up a pretty good season, maybe more than some of the outfielders we picked. As a reliever, Hayden Deal didn't get picked. A guy like Alec Barger down in Rome, thought seriously about him, but ran out of room. So interesting to see who got in here and who didn't. We'll check periodically over the course of the season to see how we're doing. But I hope you guys were entertained with this fourth annual Braves Minor League Fantasy Draft. And thanks for everyone who waited around and listened to all this. And we'll be back with you next week.
All right. Have a good one.
No. Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien. Non, je ne regrette rien. C'est payé. Allumer le feu, mes chagrins, mes plaisirs, je n'ai plus besoin d'eux. Balayer les amours avec leurs trémolos, balayer. balayer pour toujours. Je repars à zéro. Rien, ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, tout ça m'est bien égal. Non, rien de rien, non, je ne regrette rien, car ma vie